Sauk Valley. We've set up our tents and our campfire. We've seen our friends, and we're all now aligning around the great ones who are appearing. We see the stone, the rock. We see the trees on the mountains on each side. We're standing in the Wisak Valley. We connect our souls to all the great ones and to the Buddha who is about to appear. We connect our souls to each other, to our families, our friends, our loved ones. And we invite them in to be with us in this Wisak festival. And it's such a beneficent and wonderful thing to be able to know about this legend and to participate with all the great ones. Remember all the things we read, that nothing is too great. This is a great opportunity, and nothing is too great then. Nothing is greater than our showing up for this Wisak festival and receiving the will and the light and the love of the Father through the Buddha, through the Christ. So we stand together as a group in the Wisak Valley, and let us stand with all those who came before us. They prepared the way for us as we prepare the way for those who come after us. We stand with the Christ, all the hierarchy. We're right behind them in the Wisak Valley. We see the light of the Father pouring through. We see the stars. We see the full moon. And we say our soul invocation. We build the Antikarana and stand within the spiritual triad. We build the rainbow bridge. We invite humanity to say these words with us, and we identify with them. I am the soul. I am light divine. I am love. I am will. I am fixed design. I am the soul. And we stand in the center of a six-pointed star. We surround the Wisak Valley with this six-pointed star. We surround our country and all the countries of the world. And we lift up the personality to the light of the soul. And we look up and see another triangle, the will of God and the will to good, the will to good, the will of God. Flowing through the love of God is pouring down through the Buddha tonight. And we will receive it. And then we will offer it to humanity. The will to good is a fiery triangle. We surround this Wisak Valley with the fiery triangle. We surround our ashram, our group, our country, our people, and the entire earth with this fiery triangle. We stand within this triangle, the will to good. And now I'm going to begin our presentation, and then we will do our meditation. And then we will be working with the shapes when the time comes. So everyone, let us strengthen the hands of the new group of world servers everywhere. And let us stand together. And let us stand at the Wisak Valley, and we'll begin to say these words together. He who faces the light and stands within its radiance is blinded to the issues of the world of men. He passes on the lighted way to the great center of absorption. But he who feels the urge to pass that way, yet loves his brother on the darkened path, revolves upon the pedestal of light and turns the other way. He faces towards the dark. And then the seven points of light within himself transmit the outward streaming light. And behold, the face of those upon the darkened path receives that light. And for them, the way is no longer so dark. Behind the warriors and twixt the light and dark blazes the light of hierarchy. And we stand in meditation at the Wesak Valley and in our ashram together. And we affirm the fact of group fusion and integration with the heart center of the new group of world servers. We mediate between hierarchy and humanity. We are one with our group brothers and sisters, and all that we have is theirs. May the love which is in our soul pour forth to them. May the strength which is in us lift and aid them. May the thoughts which our soul creates reach and encourage them. And so as we stand together in this Wesak Valley, let us project a line of lighted energy towards the spiritual hierarchy of the planet. They are the planetary heart center and the great ashram of Sanat Kumara, and towards the Christ at the heart of hierarchy. He is the great world teacher. And we extend our light and our love, our heart, our soul towards Shambhala, the center where the will of God is known. And we hold our contemplative mind open to the extraplanetary energies streaming into Shambhala. We see them especially radiating from Shambhala in the form of the Buddha and through the hierarchy. And we use our creative imagination. We endeavor to see ourselves in the Wesak Valley. And as we do so, we align Shambhala with the hierarchy and with humanity. And now I'm going to read the story of the legend. And as we read the story of the legend, we're going to also then do our shapes. So there is in a high valley in the Himalayas, about 400 miles west of Lhasa, not far from Nepal, there is a place surrounded by high mountains covered with greenery. The valley is oblong in shape, and the floor is a carpet of green grass. And at one end is a tiny stream that empties into a clear blue lake. Everyone, as I read this legend, our eyes are closed and we visualize this. Nearby is a large grayish white rock. It's 12 feet long, 6 feet wide, 3 feet high. We see veins of shiny, glittering minerals coursing through the rock. The valley we are in is virtually uninhabited most times, but we see a Buddhist temple and a few tumble-down huts here and there. It is a ruined stupa. A few days prior to the full moon of Taurus, people from all over the world begin to gather. They set up tents and campsites. On the full moon day, the crowd, mostly dressed in white, they gather in the lower northern part of the valley. They leave the southern side for the great ones. The crowd of pilgrims sits in an orderly fashion, in quiet, in silence, and in meditation. As the full moon time approaches, great ones in white robes begin to gather. They acknowledge their disciples. They see them. They send them words of blessings and smiles and cheer. Soon the three great lords, the Manu, the Christ, and the Mahakoan, arrive in their etheric bodies and stand north of the great altar of stone. And other ones also appear, and they assemble behind them according to their ranks. At a given signal, the great ones form three concentric circles and begin to chant. The chanting becomes deeper and more rhythmic. The etheric visitors materialize, and a glorious figure can be seen at the center of the circle. He has various names. He is called Maitreya, or the Bodhisattva, or the Christ. He's also called the Lord of Peace and the Lord of Love, the Teacher of Teachers, the Teacher of all the Masters, the Teacher of the Hierarchy. The Hierarchy's purpose is to lead humanity from chaos to beauty, from darkness to light, from death to immortality. Presently, the Christ appears in a pure white robe. He carries a rod of power, given to him for this occasion by the Ancient of Days. Each end of the rod has a large diamond knob, which radiates a blue and orange aura. The initiates, standing in the three circles, bow and chant a mantra of salutation and affirmation, and the Christ becomes more visible. The circles change. They form a cross around the Christ. They then form a triangle within the circle, with the Christ at the apex near the rock. The Christ places the rod of power on the rock, and a crystal bowl appears, trimmed in gold. This crystal bowl is filled with water. Garlands of lotus flowers cover and hang from the rock. The great ones perform movements. They make three interlocking triangles with the Christ at the center. They then form a six-pointed star, then the star of the Christ, the Pentagon. The Christ stands at the apex near the rock. On the right is the Manu. The Christ stands at the apex near the rock. On the right is the Manu. On the left is the Mahakoan. And a great being stands at the center, and two other great ones at the lower points of the star. The chanting creates a great tension, and the Christ, taking his rod from the rock, says to the Buddha, "All is ready, Master. Come. All is ready, Master. Come." He says this at the right time, at the time of the full moon. A few seconds before the full moon, a speck of light appears in the sky and slowly descends, changing into the figure of the Lord Gautama Buddha. He is sitting cross-legged in a pure yellow robe. He's flooded in the beauty of light and color. His right hand is raised in blessing. He reaches a point just above the rock, and the great invocation is sounded by the Christ, and all present touch their foreheads to the ground. The great invocation creates a powerful current of energy passing through the hearts of all present, and the great invocation from the people reaches the Lord of the world. This is the most sacred moment of the year when humanity and divinity make contact. At the exact moment of the full moon, the enlightened one passes to Christ the energy of Ray One, the will of God, pouring through the love, Ray Two. And this first ray is received by the Christ and changed into the will to good. The Christ then raises the crystal bowl over his head and he blesses it. And then he places it back on the rock, and the masters chant hymns. The great Lord Buddha blesses the crowd and slowly disappears, returning back to the heavens. And then later, Christ distributes the holy water to the initiates and all present as they form a procession. They fill their small containers, crystal containers, and drink the waters. And then they return to their campsites. Later, they will return home. They return home in peace. Thus, once a year at the full moon of Taurus, humanity is charged with the energies of a great dawn, and sincere disciples can expand their consciousness, receive this great light, and serve their fellow men. And this is from Signs of Christ, and it's reference how Bailey's writing started in the book Signs of Christ. I wanted to present some quotes about Wesak. The festival of Wesak is the festival of the Buddha. He is the spiritual intermediary between Shambhala and hierarchy. At Wesak, the Manu, the Christ, and the Mahakoan invoke the Buddha. And the hierarchy meets at Wesak for three purposes. to contact force flowing through the Buddha, to hold the main quarterly meeting, and to admit those ready for initiation. At Wesak, the Buddha communicates via Christ and the hierarchy with humanity. The Wesak festival is a linking festival. It links East and West. It links Buddha from the East and Christ from the West. It links Shambhala and hierarchy. It links purpose and love. The Buddha flashes forth into physical manifestation for the fulfillment of the plan of the Father. The Wesak festival is held by hierarchy for four objectives: to substantiate the existence of the Christ, to demonstrate the connection and solidarity of East and West, to form a meeting place for the faithful, and to demonstrate the nature of the Christ's work as the head of the hierarchy. The hierarchical objective at Wesak is to familiarize the West with the Buddha and his work. Spiritual entities from beyond our planet and the Buddha brings from beyond our planet spiritual entities so they make contact with the earth and with humanity. The Buddha carries the impressing forces of the Buddhas of activity, the Buddhas of activity, to hierarchy at Wesak, and the Buddha brings in the forces of illumination. The Buddha transmits a dual force of energy, one stream from the silent watcher, or the higher counterpart of Sanat Kumara, and another stream from Sanat Kumara himself. The Buddha, the Christ, and Shambhala are linked to humanity at Wesak. At Wesak, the masters draw down special forces through the use of chanted mantras and the sacred ceremonial pacing and interweaving of the assembled crowd in the formation of geometrical figures. The channel provided by hierarchy at the time of Wesak is formed by the use of sound and rhythm simultaneously employed. By the chanting of this mantra, by means of the slow, measured movements that accompany that chanting, a funnel is formed that reaches upward into the heavens. The geometrical figures form in the matter of the plane higher than the physical. And these movements gathered at Wesak bring down the Buddha. The emphasis upon the Wesak festival has been to bring to public attention the existence of two avatars, the Buddha and the Christ. And this festival inaugurates the theme of the new world religion. The hierarchy has four goals at Wesak: stimulate the spirit of love, community, and goodwill on earth, create a telepathic fusion of all persons of goodwill, invoke certain great high beings, and link the hierarchy, the new group of world servers, and humanity. And this alignment sets up conditions for great spiritual improvements on earth. Disciples are asked to undertake 5 days of the most intensive effort and service, leading to the renunciation of all which would hinder usefulness as channels of spiritual force. We are asked to be channels of spiritual force. The Wesak hour is a moment of momentous import. So I'd like us to do our shapes at this time. If I could ask Lauren to put the shapes up, please. And we're going to draw those shapes. These are the shapes. And then as we draw these shapes, we will be doing the same movements that the Christ and the Buddha and all the great ones are doing at the Wesak festival. And so as we draw these shapes, I'm going to explain what they are. These are symbolic positions, and they represent the spiritual journey of humanity. So the circle, first we are going to draw the circle. And the circle represents one heart and one mind and the unity of all of humanity and the new group of world servers uniting with hierarchy in Shambhala. So we draw a circle. And the second shape that we're drawing, the circle with the point at the center. This is like the point in Aries, that point where the light seeks what can be used in the world to anchor this light of God. And this is the point also of self-conscious awareness. The soul light, the Christ light awakens within this circle. And then we draw another circle with an even armed cross. The circle with the even armed cross. And we recognize, remember that we receive from above, we anchor below, and we share side to side. And the cross is the most ancient of symbols. It is not a Catholic or Christian symbol. It signifies that we are spirits and we entered into matter, anchored ourselves into matter. And we live with each other, side by side. This even-armed cross within this circle, we are both spirit and matter. We balance duality. We balance above and below. We balance side to side, north and south, east and west. And then we draw another circle with a triangle at the center. And we dedicate ourselves to the goodwill of all. The will to good and the goodwill of all. The circle with the triangle at the center. And the next one is a interesting one. It's a triangle. And this drawing right here is not the appropriate drawing. We should draw three triangles. I'm sorry, one triangle with three circles. One triangle with three circles at each point, and those circles intersect in the middle, if you can understand. One triangle, three circles at each point, and those circles intersect at the center. These are the three unfolding petals of will, love, wisdom, and divine intelligence. The three petals of will, love, wisdom, and divine intelligence. Raise one, two, and three. And then we draw the six-pointed star. The six-pointed star. We understand this six-pointed star, the lower triangle, lifted up to the triangle of the soul, the lower triangle of the personality, lifted up to the triangle of the soul. When we lift up our personality to the soul for divine direction, then our divine nature comes forth. And then the five-pointed star, representing, of course, the pentagram. It is Venus's symbol, and it is also the perfected humanity, and it is the star of the Christ, the star of the Christ. And so, there is a great expectancy in the waiting, onlooking crowd. And there's a great tension that increases. The Buddha is to be here in about 6 minutes. Actually, this is a real event happening in the Himalayas. Within the body of the waiting people, there can be felt a stimulation or a potent vibration that has the effect of awakening the souls of those present, fusing and blending the group into one united whole. It creates a spiritual demand, a readiness, and an expectancy. The world's aspiration is focused in this waiting group. There are three words: demand, readiness, and expectancy. And this describes the atmosphere around those present in this sacred valley of the Himalayas, this Wesak Valley. So, the great initiates and the great companions and the great hierarchy, these great masters of wisdom and love and knowledge, they stand around our race and they say, "Lead us, O Lord, from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, from death to immortality, and from chaos to beauty. Lead us, O Lord, from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, from death to immortality, from chaos to beauty." We know this prayer is from the ancient Upanishads. It's humanity's most ancient prayer. It's from humanity's most ancient text of prayer and instructions. The group of knowers of divinity, the main participants at Wesak, arrange themselves behind the Christ. As we stand behind the Christ ourselves, we can see the three great lords, the Manu, the Christ, and the Mahakoan. They are forming a triangle of force. O Lord of Light, come forth and rule the world. May the Prince of Peace appear and end the warring of all nations, all countries, and all peoples. May the reign of light and love and justice begin. Let there be love and light and intelligence and peace on earth, and let it begin with each of us. So I'm going to help us go into a meditation now. In about 2 minutes, the Christ raises the rod of power and he says, "All is ready, Buddha, come." So let us be still and be aware and awakened to receive the light of the Buddha. And then when it's time, I'll say the words, and then we'll be quiet for 8 minutes. We are in a deep meditation now, everyone. Everyone in the Wisak Valley is in a deep meditation. The Christ is ready to raise the rod of power. They are raising the rod of power, and the Manu and the Mahakan are raising the water bowl. And they will begin to call the Buddha to confer his annual blessing from Sanat Kumara, the Lord of the world, from Shambhala, the place where the will of God is known. And the Christ calls the Buddha to transmit the direction of the spiritual work for the coming year. And he says, all is ready, Lord Buddha, come. All is ready, Lord Buddha, come. All is ready, Lord Buddha, come. And we see a tiny speck of light seen in the sky. And the light becomes nearer and nearer, and it grows in clarity. And finally, we see the Buddha, and he is seated in a cross-legged Buddha position. His hand is held in the mudra of blessing. He is clad in his saffron-colored robe. He is bathed in concentric circles of color and light. And he extends his hand in a blessing towards the earth. And next to the Buddha, we see the forces of enlightenment attempting to bring the light of truth to humanity. And he arrives at a point exactly above the great altar rock. And he hovers in the air over the heads of the three great lords and the great mantra from the hearts of everyone, used only once a year at the festival of Wisak, is intoned by the Christ, and everyone bows in reverence. And the Buddha remains in the field of the earth for 8 minutes, and everyone is silent during this time. The Christ and hierarchy are bowed, receiving the blessings of will, of love, and wisdom from the Father. And so we too are in silence to receive this. Now, after 8 minutes of the Buddha's presence, the Buddha slowly recedes into the heavens. There's only a faint speck of light to be seen in the sky, and eventually the speck disappears. And this blessing, from his first appearance until he fades away, is 8 minutes. And this is the Buddha's annual sacrifice for humanity. He returns to the earth only at a great cost. And now his sacrifice for the year is complete. He returns once again to that high place where he works and waits. Year after year, the Buddha returns to the earth to confer a blessing from the Lord of the world. Year after year, he and his great brother, the Christ, work in closest cooperation to benefit humanity. And so after a time, after the Buddha has disappeared, the crowd slowly rises to its feet, and Christ begins to distribute the waters of life to his disciples. The water in the bowl is filled with the blessings of the Buddha. It's offered in tiny portions to the master, to the initiates, to the disciples, and the new group of world servers. The crowd, having brought their water cups and vessels to the festival, drink from their vessels, and they share their water with others. This is the water ceremony. It is the communion of Wesak. It is a symbol and indicator of the new Aquarian age, the age of the water carrier, of humanity bearing a water pitcher. The Aquarian waters are the waters of life, poured forth by disciples for thirsty humanity. The waters of Wesak are the promise and the symbol of this new era and this new age of humanity, this new era that is to be created under the new laws and principles by humanity. The water is magnetized by the presence of the Buddha and the Christ, and it carries specific virtues and properties that are life-giving and healing for all the kingdoms. The Wesak ceremony is about the will to good brought forth by the Lord of the world. And when it reaches the earth, it becomes goodwill. And from this day onward, we dedicate ourselves to bringing goodwill into the world. The waters speak of the need for individual purification and of the second initiation, which is the baptism, which cleanses the emotional body. The Wesak waters also convey the idea that humanity is thirsty and offer humanity the opportunity to share with each other in the waters of life, the waters of life for thirsty humanity. These words allude to the new era, the Aquarian era, and the era of brotherhood and of freedom, and it is just beginning to unfold for humanity. And so this blessing of the Buddha, the yearly ceremony, is over. We begin our days of safeguarding. And now we begin to recite the three great invocations three great invocations. Let the forces of light bring illumination to mankind. Let the spirit of peace be spread abroad. Let men of goodwill everywhere meet in a spirit of cooperation. May forgiveness on the part of all men be the keynote at this time. Let power attend the efforts of the great ones. So let it be, and help us to know and to do our part. Let the lords of liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth, and coming, save. Come forth, O mighty one. Let the souls of men awaken to the light. May they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe must come. Come forth, O mighty one. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O mighty one. Let light and love, power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O mighty one. Blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. O Lord of life and light, come forth and rule the world. May the Prince of Peace appear and end the warring of nations and countries and peoples. May the reign of light, love, and justice begin. Let there be love and light and intelligence and peace on earth. And let it begin with our group, the new group of world servers. And so we use our creative imagination. We use our creative imagination and we visualize the energies of light and love and the will to good. It is now pouring out throughout the planet. It's becoming anchored on earth in prepared physical plane centers. And here the plan can manifest. We refocus our consciousness and we say our mantra of love. In the center of all love, we stand. From that center, we, the soul, will outward move. From the center, we, the ones who serve, will work. May the love of the divine self be shed abroad in our heart, through our group, and throughout the world. We visualize a downpouring of spiritual inflow. It's released from Shambhala through the hierarchy and streams into humanity through the prepared channels. We consider how these inpouring energies are establishing a pathway of light for the coming world teacher, the Christ. And we gather together now, everyone. The effect of this moment of the Buddha's presence, this intensive spiritual effort we have made, is an invaluable service and it will last throughout the year. It is basically the way we are helping in manifesting the divine plan on earth. And so, based on this legend, every year, the Buddha comes down and pours forth the spiritual blessings and energies from the divine. And so, everyone goes back to their campsites and they prepare to go home. And this Wesak ceremony is a story of the universality of God's love, the will to good he pours down upon his children. And so our Wesak festival now is over. We're going to be saying our Radiance Mantram. So that everyone on earth can receive this Wesak, the Wesak waters. As we say this Radiance Mantram, this light from Taurus and from the Buddha becomes the waters of life for thirsty humanity. It is what humanity seeks. And so we say together, Radiance we are in power. We stand forever with our hands outstretched. We link the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the outer world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with this light, we work and turn the darkness into day. Thus, with this light, we work and turn the darkness into day. And so the legend runs, and the Buddha returned once again to bless the world. And he transmitted from the Father a renewed spiritual life for humanity. The blessing is poured forth. We receive it, and we offer it to humanity at the Gemini Festival of Humanity. The Christ receives this blessing and receives it in trust for distribution at the next full moon festival, that of the Gemini Festival for Humanity. And now, everyone, let us say our three ohms together. We can integrate and synthesize this meditation. And we can say our three ohms with all the great ones in the Wesak Valley. Let us be still for a moment, everyone, so this meditation experience can settle within our bodies.